It's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to answer your questions about the great outdoors. Call in now at 888-898-2525 and join SC Wild on the Sports Talk Media Network.
Okay, time for another edition of SC Wild from the Department of Natural Resources here on the Sports Talk Media Network. This just isn't any old edition of SC Wild from the Department of Natural Resources. This is our final night, unless he makes a guest appearance from time to time, our final night with the outstanding Major, Billy Downer, who will be retiring from DNR after about 30 years at the end of this month. We're going to miss him greatly, sir. We're going to miss you more than you'll ever know. We're going to miss you because we love what you do. We love what you do for this program. We love what you do for DNR. We consider you family and close friends. And that's all I'm going to say. That's the emotional side of it, because I know you want to get down to business.
You know, Phil, I appreciate it. This has been, what a great ride. 2015 we started. 11 years, hard to believe. We've been doing the show 11 years, and people have been so gracious and so responsive. I've gone around the state to countless places, and I'll be talking, and somebody go, hey, I recognize your voice. Are you the Major? Or are you the captain? Captain Bill, that's you? I mean, back in the day, I'm like, yes. And they're like, we listen to your show every week. I'm like, wow. Always amazed me that your fans, Phil, have become somewhat of my fans. I'm not going to take the glory from you. You have got a long history of fans in this state that follow this program, and very thankful for our show and the ability to bring information to our outdoorsmen and women across the state through this venue. So, again, thank you, Phil. It's been a pleasure, and I hope to be a guest on the show. But tonight, we are going to introduce the one, the only, the new co-host of the show, and his name is Officer Mark Farrell. He's got other names. He's known by other names. He's known by Buck Whitetail. He's known by the Turkey Whisperer. He has got a number of names. Mark, welcome to the show tonight, and we will pass the baton, the torch, if you will, in some moments to come, but also want to welcome Lee Kennemer to the show. Is Lee on with us tonight?
I am.
We got everybody.
All right. Well, Lee, Lee, of course, is the son of the great Dr. Kennemer, Earl James Earl Kennemer from the NWTF, the National Wild Turkey Federation. Lee, I've always got to give a shout-out to your dad. Most people know his name. I know that probably gets old at some time in life, but, hey, we got to bow to the master. But, Lee, thank you for joining us. We're going to talk about the deer tags this year. A little change coming. Can we talk about that for a minute? What's the change in the deer tags that people will get when they buy their big game permit?
Absolutely. Previously, up to this year, the last few years, we've had a base set of five deer tags when you get your tags. And that has been, for a while now, three unrestricted antler tags or buck tags, and two antlerless tags, or what we call doe tags. We've always wanted to try to encourage antlerless harvest in the state. It's something that most states in the Southeast especially have always kind of struggled with, is taking enough antlerless deer or does. That's the primary way we manage the populations of deer. So we wanted to try to get that message across a little bit stronger, so add an extra tag. So now instead of getting two antlerless tags, you'll get three. So three buck tags and three doe tags as part of your base set.
Okay. And does that change next year?
It does not change next year.
Okay. Is there a change coming, or are we not sure about that yet?
As far as I know, there is no change coming other than what we just did, which basically changes the number of doe tags to three, and it will, which increases your season limit from 13 to 14, because the extra tags you can buy have not changed. That's still exactly the same as it was.
Well, Lee, I appreciate that. As so many people hear different things, and they may have heard, hey, they're cutting your buck tags. No, we're not. We're adding a doe tag to it, trying to encourage people, as we say, put our money where our mouth is. We're going to give you another tag because we have been preaching this on this show. We've preached it from DNR. We've shouted it from the mountaintops. Shoot does. Because our doe to buck ratio, and I'll let Buck Whitetail get on here in a minute and talk about his theory on that. But our buck to doe ratio has been somewhat flooded, if you will. So many does, bucks don't have to walk around. They don't have to really search. They're just there. And if we could get it where they had to search a little bit, it might be better for all of us. Is that kind of a lead up? The poor.
That is exactly right. It's our historically and for years in the past, if you go back and look at our harvest data, we've always taken a few more bucks than we do does, and that kind of is what makes it like that. And one of the reasons we want to encourage people to use that extra tag is also to use it earlier in the season, because the fewer does we have going into the rut when we get to late October and early November, the better you will see as far as activity, because the fewer does they have out there, the much more they're going to move. And that's what a lot of people that are hunting for a big buck are looking for, is that rut activity. And the fewer does you have on the landscape, the more of that movement that you're going to see. So it definitely affects how the hunting will go, but it's also a really important part of our herd management, because it doesn't change much when you kill an extra buck, but killing those extra does is how you can either stabilize or reduce your population if you got too many.
All right, so Lee, I'm going to say this. 11 years of the show, I've never thought about it this way. So congratulations to you for yet another shock shot to us. Kill the does early because it might make your rut better. Never heard it put that way, but I'm going to say it this way. For years, I struggle. We get guys, we all come, we shoot does. On some property, we've got a really heavy deer population. We really have a lot of crop damage. And so on our club, we get everybody together. We just try to, we basically shoot does. We don't shoot any bucks unless it's something somebody wants to mount. Now, look, right. I am not saying that somebody wants to shoot a 4-point wrong or 6-point. I'm not getting into that argument. That's not my point. For us, though, we're trying to manage does, and we're literally, killing 20 or more a year. On a piece of property is 400 or 500 acres that's surrounded by woods that is just inundated with does. But we always end up into the season trying to shoot does, and by then they're wise. They don't come out till dark hardly, and they know where the stands are by now. And I've never thought about that. Shooting earlier might make it better for the buck coming out there, because there's less does to deal with.
So that's Billy.
That's true. That's a great point.
Billy, can I chime in for a second? All right, let me add something to that, too. Another good reason to shoot them early is later in the season is those yearling first-year button heads start putting on, thicker fur coats and whatnot. It's harder to make out and distinguish those button heads from a doe, so you wind up trying to have a big doe hunt late December, and everybody winds up coming back two or three button heads. Everybody's picking on everybody because they couldn't, they messed up or whatnot. Not that shooting a button head's wrong, but if you're trying to shoot does, whatnot, you know what I'm saying? So that's a little easier. I think Lee and Bill would agree with me to shoot those does earlier. You can kind of differentiate the button heads from the does during that time of year.
That's exactly right. That's another really, really good point. It's a lot easier in September and October to tell those button heads apart from those big does. When you get to late December, not only are they much more wary, but they're a lot harder to tell apart, especially when you're looking at them together in a field. When you look at them early, it's really easy to see which one's that yearling, and it's harder as you get later into the season.
You think you're about to shoot a button
head. And the later it gets at night.
Exactly.
The later at night it gets, the harder it is to see. And that's where most of your button buck shot mistakes happen. Somebody's shooting for a doe late because it's a big body deer. That must be a nice sized doe. That's got to be a 110-pound doe. And then you get up to it and you're like, uh-oh, now I've messed up.
Lord. But, and now I got to go to the skinning shed and face my friends. Right.
That's right. That's right. Right. Yeah, but that's right. I got to say this, Mark. That's why Buck Whitetail is welcome to the show. What great knowledge you're already throwing out there. Right. Thank you for sharing that vast hunting knowledge. I mean, you are an expert among experts, and folks have no idea how lucky they're going to be to learn from your wisdom. So please continue to share.
Thank you for the great introduction there, Billy.
I can't do any better than that. You are the
right.
The Turkey Whisperer. And when that season comes up, I can't wait for folks to learn from you.
Oh, man, I can't wait either. I am ready. I'm ready.
And Lee will probably join in. I mean, Lee, look. Lee has his dad's the father of turkey.
Yeah.
He's like the great godfather.
My hero, for sure.
And we're going to have to get Lee. We're going to have to get your dad on the show with you. That would be a great show. Excuse me, Mark. Be a great idea.
I think so. Yeah, I think we'll schedule that for March when everybody's got turkey on the brain wide open. We'll definitely have you back on here. No doubt with your dad. That'd be a great show.
I'm sure he'd love to do it.
Can't wait.
Absolutely. So, you know, as we look at deer season, it's already opened up 15th. Wow, it's so stinking hot outside. It's,
good Lord,
100 degrees. It's not fun for anybody sitting to stand and sweat like you're having to sweat. I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah. It's just too much.
But this is the time of year. We didn't talk about this. So let me say this. This is the time of year that you've got an opportunity, perhaps, if you're in a part of the state that the season's open, or you're lucky enough to have the ability to hunt in a part of the state where we have a deer season, you may have a chance to catch a buck in velvet. And for a lot of people, that's a really big trophy for them, or something they may have never done. Mark, have you ever had that opportunity?
I've killed a few bucks in velvet, and I prefer to kill them when they're hard-horned. And the bucks up here on camera, actually around the 12th or 13th of this month here, past few days, they just started shedding. So we're showing up on camera, they're starting to shed up here. But one point I was going to make that's important is we want you to shoot does early, but you cannot shoot a doe in South Carolina anywhere until September 1st. So that's an important note to make.
September 15th, that's the first
September 15th
date.
September 15th is the first day you can do that.
I'm going to walk over that. Buck Whitetail is going to let you get away with one. Don't you do it again.
holy cow.
Yeah. September the 15th is the first day in South Carolina that you can have the opportunity to shoot an antlerless deer, period. Doesn't matter if you got tags, property tags, DQP tags, or your individual tags. The 15th is the first date that you can actually shoot does. So just keep that in mind. It's a good point, Mark. Thanks for bringing it up because, you know, we are sitting here pushing shoot does early, but
Not too early. The 15th. I apologize. I'm nervous. This is my first time on the radio.
If you shoot before the 15th, Mr. Green Jeans may show up.
That's right.
And, yeah, I'm going to talk about Mr. Green Jeans a lot in a couple of weeks because I won't be one no more.
Another thing to bring up, I think another point to bring up is if you're in a club, you know, you got 500 acres, 1,000 acres, and you got 6-7 members, and y'all have a lot of does on your property, a good program to take advantage of is our deer quota program. So prior to July 1st, you can send in applications. It's easy to find this information on our website. You pay $50. You send in a map of your property, some details about your property, how it's managed. And you can get, I'm sure, Billy, you do this on your property, probably some places you hunt, and take advantage where you can get more does because you may not have, if it's you and your cousin or you and your uncle that hunt a piece of property, you may not have enough personal tags to fill the amount of does you need to be taking off your property, and this gives you an opportunity to do so. Would y'all agree with that?
Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of acreage in South Carolina that's under that program right now as well.
Yeah.
Well, and let me add this, too, Mark. One of the biggest benefits of the DQP, or it used to be called the Doe Quota Program, now it's called the Deer Quota Program, is that if you have a piece of property and you get tags. So, it's based on the size of the property, and you can get just doe tags or antlerless deer tags, or you can get antlerless deer tags and buck tags, but you're going to get limited on the buck tags. Basically, Lee, I think we've been limited 200 acres for one buck per 200 acres.
I believe that's right, yeah.
Somewhere around there. So, I mean, it's you're not going to get a bunch. But if you choose to do the DQP program and bucks with it, you can't use individual buck tags there. You can choose to do the DQP program, just get antlerless tags, and then you can use individual tags anywhere on the property. But here's the fun thing about DQP. if your property's enrolled in it, only costs $50. You have to do that in July, back in July. And most people, pretty cheap. Most people forget and start doing it in August. They thought, I forgot to put a check in. But you get those tags, and if you have family come in from out of state, they still got to buy their license. They don't have to buy tags. They can use your tags. That's kind of a fun piece of information.
It is. Great information.
Important. And that, Mark, that's 11 years experience talking there on the show.
Good job. Good job. Especially like Thanksgiving and Christmas.
I figured that out.
You did good. Especially Christmas, Thanksgiving, you got family coming in. They could, save them a little bit of money, if you just want to help you out shooting some does. Definitely a big help. I think that's a program a lot of people forget about.
Yep. And let me say this. If you choose to do the bucks, the DQP and include bucks in your allotment. Let's say you got 1,000 acres, whatever. You get 5 buck tags on that. Same thing if a person comes from out of state, your family, whatever, or friend comes and they want to deer hunt, they want to shoot a buck, they don't have to pay for that buck tag. It's very costly. That's a discount. It's there. But most, I would say, Mark, wouldn't you agree, most people don't do the buck tags?
They don't, but some of the clubs I deal with are starting to do that now, because if it's a 1,500-acre club or whatever, which is not what everybody has, but a lot of places have properties that big or larger, they're not trying to shoot a whole lot of bucks anyway, because they're only shooting their mature bucks. And you may only have, 4 or 5 and a half-plus-year-old bucks that they're focusing on. And most people, a lot of people getting this program are really heavily focusing on shooting mature bucks anyway. So they don't necessarily want to kill 20, 30
bucks.
And
that helps
anyway.
Them limit the bucks that get shot.
That's it. They can use that. The land manager or landowner can use that as an excuse. Hey, man, we only got 8 buck tags. Here's our hit list bucks we're trying to take out of here for whatever reason, whatnot. And it kind of helps that. Helps your program.
Yeah, see, Mark is going to bring all these new terms, hit list, things I've never used. He's such a deer manager. I mean, he is. There's a reason why he's Buck Whitetail.
It's called no modernization, major.
Is that what it is?
It's modernization of the program. Yeah, we're making all kind of changes
now
that you're gone.
List, I start thinking, when I hear hit list, I start thinking about the mob.
Wait, do you tune in 2 weeks? You're not going to recognize this show in 2 weeks, okay?
No,
Buck would be right.
No,
his personality is so large it will take over. There's no doubt. He is a good guy. Mark and I have worked together for years. Been on the honor guard together since 2007 when Mark first came to DNR. So, 19 years, Mark? It's hard to believe. And we're out there training honor guard today, talking about the show tonight. We're training a whole new crop of honor guard before I walk out the door. And we're just talking about the years and things we've done and friends we've worked with. So many things I've learned. Mark taught me how to use the Mark, help me. What's the decoy?
Dave Smith decoy, man.
Dave Smith decoy, that's it.
Yes, sir.
He put me on to the Dave Smith turkey decoy years
probably
back.
Probably get some hate.
A winner for me.
Oh, yeah, probably get some hate from some turkey hunters now. Now everybody's getting back to the deal where they don't want to use decoys and just, straight old school call them, which I'm a big fan of, too, just walking in the woods with a mouth call. It's hard to beat that. But if you are going to set up in the field, Dave Smith's hard to beat, no doubt.
It is. It's hard to beat. Billy, D-Wayne taught me that.
That's right. D-Wayne told me first, and then I took that on. That's right. Billy, I want to tell you thank you very much, too, for your mentorship and being a great leader in our department. I know nobody else will be on here to be able to witness that, but we really appreciate what you've brought to the table. You've always been a good, honest person to me, and I've enjoyed working with you over the years. You taught me a lot, and I appreciate you being a good leader in our department. So thank you very much. You will be missed for sure, and I'll miss cutting up with you when I see you.
Well, we still get to cut up, and I'll have to do some Mark, thank you for that. I'll have to do some guests calling in. We can go back and forth, especially when it comes to waterfowl season, because you're going to need some help with that.
I will definitely need some help with that,
Buck
no doubt, for sure.
That's where Buck Whitetail falls short. We'll get Drake Mallard involved.
That's right.
I'll bring my pseudonym out, Drake Mallard, and I'll come back to the show.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Well, Lee, don't want to miss you tonight. I'm sorry you had to be a part of the show of how great thou art, Billy. But what other information, if you wanted to share for a minute with deer hunters right now, you think would be a real would be good for people to know as we're starting the deer season?
A big thing would be like we talked about at the beginning of the show. You know, that extra tag was strategic, and it was to really focus, you know, hunters' attention that, you know, we really want people to focus on it for deer, from a deer management standpoint. As I said, antlerless harvest is the most important part of deer management when it comes to managing the overall population of deer. And there's a lot of different reasons that, you know, the making rut activity better was one I brought up earlier. Mark brought up it's easier to tell the yearling bucks apart from the does earlier in the season. Another big thing that we want people to think about is, you know, sometimes people only shoot as many deer as they can eat. Well, the other thing you can do is you can donate deer. You know, we've got Hunters for the Hungry. We've got the feed recovery program. So you can donate those deer. Just because you have an extra tag and you don't have room in the freezer or don't want it, don't forget there's other people that might be, you know, less fortunate. And there's always somebody that's willing to take one. So sometimes, you know, the cost of processing is a big thing. There's ways to donate it where you don't have to pay for the processing. So don't forget that and really, you know, don't let that be an obstacle to taking that extra deer, especially in a place where you really need to. Just because you don't want to have that extra cost or have that extra space you don't have in the freezer.
Yep.
Well, that's a great point. Let me add this to that. If you're planning on donating to Hungers for the Hungry, which our former director, Alvin Taylor, was big about getting that into law to make that legal and ways to allow our processors a easier way to kind of get that process going. Make sure you talk to your processor locally, see if they participate in Hunters for the Hungry. If they don't, try to talk them, you know, see if you can get encouraged to be a part of it. Because it does add a little bit of, to some, for the processor, a little hassle of having to hold a deer till, you know, they process the deer and they got to, you know, Hunters for the Hungry picks it up at certain times. But you want to make sure you know who does that. I will say this too, my church will take deer meat for their shelter area, we have a habitat type house where people can come and get food, less fortunate, and they will take deer meat to give out. So that's another avenue you can find. But before we go tonight, how many tags are we giving Phil for his car?
Oh, Lord. He needs at least a
Phil,
cup.
You always complain about the car. What about me?
I've got two kills with my car, guys. I don't know if I get any credit for that. I wanted nothing to do with the animals after they destroyed the front ends of my car, so I left them for the highway patrol to deal with back in the day.
Well, your local body shop, man, really appreciates you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really.
I've used that to make him – I've made Phil an official hunter because he has taken deer before.
Yeah. Yes, I have. So. Yes, I have. It counts.
Yeah, yeah,
I killed
him. Definitely counts.
Does it matter if it's by gun or bow and arrow or moving vehicle? It all counts.
Yep, you've taken deer. We can't say you haven't.
Yep.
Well, I know our time is short. Let me take a moment just to say this again to everyone that's been a faithful listener for 11 years of Phil and I. Mm. We're not going anywhere. The show's not going to end. It's going to be different. It's probably going to be better with old Buck Whitetail on the show. So tune in first Wednesday in August, and in September, and you're going to hear Officer Mark Farrell. It's been a great, great couple years, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. And again, Major Downer, thank you for everything. You've taught a dummy like me a lot about the great outdoors, and I appreciate you, as does our audience. And that'll do it. Major Downer, thank you. Have a great night, everybody.